The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmeru V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot. May he continue to succeed. Aslaha V'Arvaha B'Chol Ma'asi Yadav. Amen.
Gemara Nidarim Daf Bet. Today's daf is studied the Alun Ishmat Abraham ben Esther wa Hashem Tanihana began Eden. Amen. Ulfuash Shedema, Yosef ben Sarah, Visarab bat Rachel, Ulhatzlahat, Yosef ben Simha. We are beginning Masechet Nedarim, right at the beginning of that bit, starting with the first Mishnah. Now, it must be pointed out that traditionally the Limud in Masechet Nedarim. The limud is done with the perush of the Ran. Even though you see a Rashi in your margin, the accepted Kabbalah is that that is not really the perush of Rashi, and therefore, traditionally, it is not studied. Instead, the study of the Ran, he is like the Rashi of the Masechet. But it must be noted that the Ran obviously has a much different style than Rashi. And as you see, even on the first Amud, it's very verbose and very long. The Shitav the Ran, the way he writes, is really like a Rashi and a Tosafot combined. Which means many times he brings you the Pshat, and then he'll bring proofs to his Pshat, or a question on it, and back and forth. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will try to learn the Ikar understanding of the Ran, that's Nogeya to the shot of exactly what we need to know for the daf itself, and we will, God willing, read it inside. Now, of course, our Masechet is called Masechet Nedarim, which literally means vows. According to the Torah, a person has the ability to make a vow, which means to osir something, to forbid something upon himself, or, as we'll see, to forbid himself on something. And this is a law from the Torah, and it says, Lo yachel devaro. You're not able to profane his word. Once he makes the vow, it's binding. Now, our Mishnah talks about the way a person could make a neder. There's different terminologies that a person could say at the time that he's making a vow. Those terminologies are referred to kinuye nedarim. Which is their equivalent terms. They're not the regular terminology. A regular terminology would be, you know, Hareni Oser Davar Ze Alai. You know, I forbid this item on me. That's clear. But there are other terminologies as well that are considered kinuyim, the equivalent terms that the Hachamim established. And they said that if a person makes those terms as well, that's a lashon of a neder. Now, immediately as an introduction, we could read the first Ran, on the left side, called Kinuye Nedarim. Neder hu be'ehad mishne anyanim. There's two types of Nedarim, basically. Im nedro hekdesh, shum magdish lebedek habayit o lemizbeach. She's a person, let's say, vows to give something to the bedek habayit, to the maintenance, to the treasury of the Bet HaMikdash, or for the mizbeach, like a korban. Well, a person in that case over there can only consecrate something that he owns, that's in his possession. Obviously, he cannot consecrate somebody else's property to the Beit HaMikdash. And once he consecrates it to the Beit HaMikdash, that item is forbidden to everybody, because it's Kodesh. And even though he was the one that made the neder, it's asur for everybody to have hana'ah. On nidre isur. The second type of neder is called nidre isur. Which means he forbids on himself things that are generally permitted. He's osir it on himself. And in this type of nedarim, a person could be osir somebody else's property or assets on himself. The person that makes the neder is called the noder. The one that he's making the neder against is called the Madir. And therefore the Noder is able to say that I'm osiring the piece of bread of the Madir on me. He's able to osir somebody else's asset on himself. Umasechet zu hi be'inyan nidre isur. Okay, so the Rav is giving you a very important introduction. Our Masechet discusses the second type of the Darim. Nidre isur, where he's osiring something on himself. Shema sheshana kan haramim ke haramim. We're going to see in the Mishnah. The Mishnah also is going to discuss a subject of haramim. Haramim is like somebody that consecrates something. Haynu mishum shelashon harem keshem shu kolel harme bedekabayit kachu kolel nidre isur. Which is even the word haramim in the Mishnah is just another terminology for or setting something upon the man himself. Kedetnam lekaman hareni alecha harem. We'll see later on in Daf Mem Zayin, a person says, this item to me is harem. Hamudar asur. Right? So therefore the mudar, his assets are going to be asur on the noder. Hare at alai harem. Where he says, you are to me harem. Hamadir asur. To have a hana'a. Umishum hai gavna tana haramim hacha. Again, so the haramim, even the language in the Mishnah, which we're going to see, is referring to harme isur. The ilu harme be de kabayit, but if we were talking about a person consecrating something to the temple, lo shaychi b'hai masechet, ela beseder kadashim. Okay, because if we were talking about consecrating things to the Beit HaMikdash, that's not masechet nedarim. That's a different masechet, that's in kadashim, that's somewhere else. So first thing, the Ran established the types of nedarim we're discussing, nedre isur. Now, we continue. V'nedre isur hem be'chad m'shlosha derachim. Now, there's one of three ways a person could make a neder of isur. Ikara neder, that's the actual terminology of a neder. Then you have kinuyo. Kinuyo would be an equivalent terminology. And then you have yadot. Yadot is literally a handle of a neder, which means when a person wants to pick up a vessel, a person doesn't have to lift up the whole vessel. He could hold a handle, even though you're holding part of the vessel, but you lift up the whole vessel as a result. So there's certain terminology that even though you weren't really explicit, used a short terminology, that would be considered a valid terminology for nedarim. They call that yadot shel nedar. So there's three levels. It's ikar lashon of a nedar, which we'll see. Then you have the kinui, which is the equivalent term. And then you have yadot, which is a terminology that's even missing. It's not even complete terminology, but still it's considered binding. Ikar neder hu shuyomru or shuyomar. The ikar neder is what that a person should say. Davar ze asur alai. That's it. Clearly, this item is forbidden on me. That's the ikar way to make a neder. Uben shitfiso bedavar acher, ben shelo tfiso zeu neder amud batura. Now, what is latfis? Latfis is to attach it to something else. For example, a person might say, this item is forbidden on me like a korban. That would be hatfasa, where you're making an analogy that this item is forbidden like something else. Now, for a neder to be a neder, ikar lashon nedarim, you don't have to make hatfasa. You don't have to say like a korban. It's just enough to say, this item is forbidden on me. Ela dehecha shetfiso. But if a person wants to make a neder like that, using the concept of hatfasa, meaning you want your vow to be tofes on another object, ba'inan shi'itfesenu bedavar hanadur velo bedavar ha'asur. Okay, learning a rule now. It has to be that you osir the item on yourself, and then you're making a hatfasa. The item that you're being matfis, or using as hatfasa, has to be an item that's also asur through a neder. For example, a korban. A regular animal, how does it become asur? Because somebody made a neder that this korban is going to be consecrated. So therefore, for when you're using atfasa, then this is asur on me, like a korban, which is also a type of item that's asur mahmat neder. Masha'enken, if a person would say, this item is asur on me, like a piece of hazir, that does not work. Because a piece of hazir is not asur mita'am neder. Piece of hazir is asur mita'am, because it's isur ba'itzim. That's a law they learned from Pesukim in the Torah, you don't need to make hatfasa. But if you're going to make hatfasa, you have to make matfis on an item that became asur as well through an eder. Uktamrinam beresh perich shavuot shetayim batra. My tama, what's the reason why you have to be matfis on an item that's an eder? Amar kera ki yidor neder. The double language. Ki yidor neder lashem. That when you're making the neder, the hatfasa has to be on an item also. That is shayach to be asur ben neder. עד שידור בדבר הנדור. כלומר, שאף על פי שנדר חל בלא התפסה, even though a נדר, you don't need התפסה, אפילו אחרי, אם תפיסו בעינן שיתפיסנו בדבר הנדור, ולא בדבר האסור. כמו שכתבתי שם, סיעתא דשמיא. הלקח, איפה? איך שתפיס ואמר, הרי כיכר זה עלי כקורבן, we would say, this item, this loaf, is forbidden on me like a korban, hayil nidre. Oh, so the neder is going to be hal. Ve'ikar neder huzeh. That is considered ikar neder. That's exactly the terminology that a person would make when he makes a vow. Now, ve'kinuyo. Now, what would be a kinuy in equivalent terminology? Hu shibimkom korban. Instead of you saying, dhareze asur alai ke korban, Yomar kunam, kunah, kunas. These terminologies over here are also lashonot of neder. Kunam alai, kunas alai, kunah alai. Bechol she'amru ken, hareu asur kilu amar, korban alai, kikar ze. It's as if he said, this item is a korban. So those are really the lashonot of a korban. When he says kunas, kunah, kunam, that's as if he's saying this item is asur to me like a korban. That's called the kinui of a neder. The regular ikar neder is hareze asur alai ke korban. Then you have hareze kunam alai. That's as if you're saying it's asur alai ke korban or kunas alai or kunah alai. Vehainu detnan called kinuye nedarim kindarim, and that's really the first opening statement of our Mishnah, called kinuyei nedarim kindarim. The equivalent terminology has the status of a neder. Ubehani kinuyim, and regarding these equivalent terminologies, pedigi Rabbi Yohanan v'Reish Lakish b'Gemara. Rabbi Yohanan amar lashon nuchrim him. Rabbi Yohanan, where did they get this word? Kunah. Where did it come from? Kunas, kunam. He says it's a foreign language. It's not even Aramaic or even Lashon HaKodesh. It's a different language. V'Reish Lakish Amar, Lashon Shebadu Lahem Hachamim Liyot Nodrim Bo. And Reish Lakish says, no, the rabbis made up this terminology. And they said that this terminology is going to be words for the Darim. Now, Rabbi Yohanan, the Amar Lashon Nochrimim, Vaday HaNoder Bahem KeNoder Be'ikar Korban. Which is, if you say that it's just another language, we understand very clearly, because the rabbis tell us you can make a neder in any language you want. The neder doesn't have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So therefore, if it's a foreign language, so therefore Vaday it's going to be a neder. The Amar, Shehem Lashon Shebadu Lehem Hachamim, even according to the Reish Lakish, that says what? That it's a terminology that the rabbis made up. Harem Gamkin Kenedr Gamur B'deoraita. Don't think just because the rabbis made up the terminology that it's going to be the Rabbanan. No, it'll be the Oraita, such a word. Why? What is a different language mean? What is languages? Languages are words that people agreed upon to use these words as communication. So the rabbis also have an ability to create terminologies and decide that terminology is going to mean a certain concept. Okay, so that is considered mideoraita. And then the Iran continues over here to bring the ayot. And how do we know that? But now we can continue the Mishnah. Kol kinuye nedarim kindarim. So now you learned that not only the ikar neder is a neder, but the kinui is the same adin. Vaharamim kaharamim. When a person makes something harim, which literally says the item is consecrated on me, not only ikar lashon haramim is hal, but even the kinui, using equivalent terminologies to make something haram on himself is also legitimate. B'haramim k'haramim, ran, k'lomar, sha'omer, nechasim elu alav, herik, herich, herif, hare elu ki'ilu aman nechasim elu alai, herim, v'hem asurim alav. Which means not only when he says, Ja'ikar lashon, this item is herim unto me, which is asur to me, but even if he says these other terminologies, herik, herich, etc., herif, those are also kinuim for the word herim. Mishnah continues. Ushbu'ot kishbu'ot. Person makes a shivu'ah. Literally means a swear. So not only the lashon shivu'ah is legitimate to oser something, but also the kinuim, the equivalent terminologies for shivu'ah, also are hal. Ran. Ushbu'ot kishbu'ot. Kinomar, the kinui shivu'ah, Harehu kishbu'a v'hayla. Now, umeha shamainan, the Ran learns over here a chidush. The shivu'a lo ba'ya shem. When a person makes a shivu'a, he does not have to say shivu'a la Hashem. He does not have to say Hashem's name when he makes a shivu'a. Ela keman shamar shivu'a, he just said the word, shivu'a. O shivuta, shivuta would be the kinui. Shehi kinuya, shelo ochad kikar ze. He says, shivuta, shelo ochad kikar ze. Asur le ochlo. Forget it, that's considered a kinuya, and that's what's asur to eat that item. The matnitin de chiagav na askinan. How did you know that the Mishnah is talking about where he didn't mention Hashem's name in the Shivua? Maybe he said, shivuta la Hashem, shelo ochal kikar ze. How did you know that it's talking about where he didn't mention Hashem's name? The ibish is kirit Hashem. If it's talking about where he mentioned Hashem's name, my iriya mishum kinui shivua. What do you have to come on to kinui shivua? Shivua. Tipukle mishum haskarat Hashem. Da'afidu belo shivua belo kinui have shivua. Which means the Ran is teaching another cloud. When it comes to making a shivua, even if you didn't say lashon shivua or even a kinui, you just said la Hashem kikarzu. Finished. That's considered a shivua. Hashem's name alone is considered shivua. So our Mishnah, obviously, when it says kinui, if it was talking about where he said Hashem's name, you don't even need a kinui. Hashem's name enough is considered bounding or binding as a shivua. So therefore, the Mishnah must be talking about where he's just saying either shivua kikar ze alai or shivuta kikar ze alai. And then he brings ra'ayot for this. Mishnah continues. V'nizirut kinzirut. We know there's a concept where a person is able to make himself a nazir. What is a nazir? Nazir is a person makes a vow that he's not going to eat grapes, drink wine, he's not going to cut his hair for a certain amount of time, he's not able to become tameh. So not only when a person says, Hare alai nazir, that would be the obvious terminology, but the kinui, the equivalent terminology of nazirut also is binding. Ran, v'nazirut kinzirut, kelomar, Sha'omer hareni nazik pazit ke'omer hareni nazir, which means there's kinuim for the word nazir, like you see, right? Paziyah or nazik, those are the shonot as well. Mishnah continues. Ha'omer lechavero, a person, let's say, tells his friend, mudrani mimecha, that's lashon neder, mufreshani mimecha, Mufrash, I am removed, I am separated from you. Miruhakani mimcha, or I am distanced from you. She'ani ochel lecha, that I am going to give you to eat. She'ani to'em lecha, that I'm giving you something to taste. Asur minudeh. Sorry, asur, period. Wa asur minudeh ani lecha. Rabbi Akiva Yahochech Bazir Lachmir. So let's read Dan. Ha'omer l'chavero. Three lines from the bottom. Mudrani mimecha. Mefaresh b'gemara. Dehainu yadot. Okay, now we enter a new phase of this Mishnah. Till now we discussed ikar nedarim, kinuyim. Now the last part of the Mishnah discusses yadot. What are yadot, as we explained? That's a terminology that is a vague terminology that you didn't really speak out fully. It's like a person holds on to a keli, holds on to part of the keli. So he says, "Umefarshim name da'achi ketani mudrani mimecha she'ani ochel lecha, o mudrani mimecha she'ani to'im lecha, v'chen b'mufreshani miruhaykari v'aviyadot." Why? Mishum de'lo masig de'burah le'memar ke'korban, which means you didn't say anything mudrani alecha, but you didn't say like what? Like a korban. Or you did not use the lashon isur. So it's either because the word korban was missing or the word isur was missing. So all these things over here, when a person says these terminologies, let's just get exactly the words of the last part of the Mishnah. I am vowed from you, that's mudrani. Mufreshani, I am separated. Miruhakani mimicha, I am distanced. She'ani ochel lecha, in that which I eat of yours, which means he's forbidding himself to eat or benefit from his friend's items. She'ani to'im lecha, when I taste, asur. So in that case over there, it is considered a yad, and the yad is going to be asur. Now, minude ani lecha, regarding that case, where a person says, I am minude to you, Rabbi Akiva yachochech bazeh lahmir. Rabbi Akiva struggled with this case, and he, in the end, was mahmir. Lan, she'ani ochel v'she'ani notem itigatzi achi belo yud. Now, some have it like we have, she'ani ochel. I am making an edit on that which I eat from you. V'itigatzi she'ani b'yud. Mudrani she'ani ochel, that I am not going to eat. So it's probably either ani ochel or eni ochel. And the Gemara said that in the last case, Rabbi Akiva was chokhech. What does chokhech mean? Literally, chokhech means when a person rubs. That's considered a hakikah. When a rabbi is pondering, what does he do? He puts his hand on his forehead and he rubs his forehead to analyze. So on this last case over here, menude ani lecha, where he says that language over there, because that's not a lashon neder, that's like nidui. They do is like literally usually like an excommunication or something like that. So Rabbi Akiva, when it came to a guy, says minude ani lecha, he wondered if that's considered a yad, meaning a legitimate lashon, and he was chokhek to say that could be, it will be mahmir, and therefore it's going to be asur. That's basically the din of the Mishnah. So again, our Mishnah discussed ikan nedarim, kinuyeh nedarim, and yadot of nedarim. Comes the Gemara. Kol kinuye nedarim kindarim. Our Mishnah starts off and says what? All the equivalent terms of nedarim are like nedarim. Mai shena gabe nazir delo ketani lehu lehu lehu. Umai shena gabe nedarim de ketani lehu lehu. Which means, in Masichet Nazir, the Masichet also begins with the Tlashon, called kinuye nizirut kinzirut, but it doesn't list all the other examples that we listed in our Mishnah, nedarim, shevuot. So why, when it comes to Masechet Nedarim and we discuss kinuye nedarim, we bring in haramim, nizirut, shevuot, in nizirut also we brought down called kinuye nizirut kinzirut. There we only brought that case. So why in Masechet Nedarim we bring all the different cases of kinuyim, or in Masechet Nazir we don't run? Mai shenaga benedarim detnan kulehu kelomar. V'lo Masechet Nazir lo tana ela kol kinuyeh nizirut kinzirut. How come you didn't list all the other cases? But as answer, mishum deneder ushpua ketivi gabe hadadi. Already in the Torah, when the Torah talks about neder, the Torah also mentions neder and also discusses shivua. Tani tartin. So therefore we discussed kinui of nedarim and kinui of shivua. Vechevan de tani tartin tane lichulu. Once already we discussed two, so then we go, the Tana held, you know what? Put them all in there. Whereas nizirut is alone in the Torah. Therefore, we weren't bound to add anything else. Once already you're writing Nedir, and you have to put Shivua, because Shivua is written in the same Pesukim as Nedarim, like the Pasuk says, Oy Shava Shivua. That's the Pasuk of Nedir. So you got to put Nedir and Shivua. Once already you're putting two items, put Kinu Haramim, Kinu Nizirut, etc.
V'litni kinui shivuot batar nedarim.
So the Gemara says a question then. If you tell me that shivuot was written in the same pasuk as nedarim, that should be the second item in the Mishnah. And it's not, because the Mishnah goes from nedarim to haramim. Why would the Mishnah go from nedarim to haramim? It should say, kol kinuye nedarim kindarim, kol neduye, kol shivuot kishvuot. Why did it jump to haramim? If the ikar items are nedarim and shivuot. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers, Aidi detara nedarim demitzar hefsar ale, tane name haramim demitzar hefsar ale. Neder and a harem are similar in that what? The person is osering the item on him. Lapuke shivua de kaasar nafshe min hefsa. Masheken is shivua, you're osering yourself from the item. So there's a big difference in the mechanics between a neder and a shivua. By a neder, what do I say? This item over here, this hefsa, is asur. I'm putting isur on the hefetz, on the item. Masheken, when a person makes a shivua, I'm not putting isur on the hefetz per se, I'm putting a shivua on myself from that item. Harem is like a neder in the sense where I'm osering the item on me. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to keep that mechanics together. So therefore, it puts neder first and then harem. Because those are two cases where the item is asur on the gavra. Masha'ekin shivua, he's osering himself on the item. Let's read the Ran. Aidi detana nedarim de mitzar hafsa ale kelomar. שאוסר הכיכר עליו ואומר אכילת כיכר זה עליי לפוקי שבועה דאסר נפשי מן חפשה. כלומר, שאומר שבועה שלא אוכל כיכר זה. And therefore, you see that the לשונות are different. Now the Mepharshim do point out that there is a difference between the לשון of נדר and שבועה, for example. When a person uses lashon neder, it can only be hal on an item. You need to have a hefza. Masha'ekin shivua is able to be hal on the person. For example, let's say a person makes a neder. I make a neder, I'm not going to sleep. The neder is not hal, because there's nothing there to be tofes. You need to have a hefza for the neder to be on. Sleep is a concept. It's not a hefsa. Whereas I can make a shivua, but shivua shelo ishan. Because there I'm osering myself from sleep. Now if a person would say, I'm making a neder on my eyes from sleep, that would be okay. Because then already you're putting it on a hefsa. So that's the difference between a neder and a shivua. An example, when a person puts it on an abstract item. So a neder cannot go on an abstract item. Neder, you have to say, the hefetz itself is asur. His eyes, the kikar, mashik and the shivua, it's always going on the guy himself. So he can osir himself from anything, even if it is abstract. So now we understand the style of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off with neder, goes to harem, because those items are both on the hefetz. Then it goes to shivua, which is on the gavra. Comes the Mishnah, the Gemara continues. פתח בכינויים כל כינויי נדרים ומפרש ידות האומר לחברו מודר אני ממך. Now the Gemara is questioning the construction of the Mishnah. You started and telling me like this, כל כינויי נדרים כנדרים. You didn't give me a case of a כינוי. We read in the Ran examples, but the Mishnah did not give us examples. The Mishnah then discusses Yadot, and then it gives me an example of a Yad, where a person says, Mufreshani mimecha, Meruchakani mimecha. So the Gemara is asking on the construction of the Mishnah. You opened up with Kinuye Nedarim, and you don't give me an example of that. You give me the example of the later part of the Mishnah, which is Yadot. And furthermore, Vetu, Yadot Inchi. You forgot to even mention Yadot. which means the Mishnah did not say Yadot Nidarim Kindarim. You just went right into an example. So the construction of Mishnah is questionable on two accounts. Number one, why did you leave the Resha of Kinnui and right away discuss Yadot? And even when you discussed Yadot, you didn't introduce it. You just went straight into a example. So comes the Gemara and says, Vetu Yadot Inshi Airi Behon. The Gemara says, no, we're discussing them. The Hasurim Mehsera, the Mishnah is actually missing some words. Nachi Ketani. You have to read the Mishnah like this now. Kol Kinuye Nidarim Kindarim. Viyadot Nidarim Kindarim. Oh, so now you added those words in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, fine. Once already you're putting me examples of Kinuy Kindarim and Yadot Kindarim, Vinifrosh Kinuyim Beresha. So explain me then, go in order. You discussed Kinuyim Beresha, so therefore give me the cases of Kinuyim. Why did you start with Kinuyim, go to Yadot, and then explain to me Yadot? So the Gemara says, Ha'u desalik mine, Ha'u mifaresh beresha. There's a style in the Mishnah like that, where sometimes the Mishnah will discuss the second item and elaborate it on it first. I mean, he goes, 1, 2, once already you discussed 2, so already you buy 2 already, let me explain 2, and then I go back to 1. So that's what's happening in our Mishnah. It's discussing Kinduyim, Yadot. All right, once already you got the Yadot, let me finish with the Yadot, and I go back to Kinduyim. Then the Gemara is going to give examples where we saw this. Kinditnan, the second Shabbat. Bameh Madlikin, Ubameh En Madlikin. En Madlikin. Right? The Mishnah in the second Perek of Shabbat. What wicks could you use in oils? Which ones you can't? Well, these are the ones that you can't. So you see, it starts off 1, 2, and discusses 2. Bameh Tomnin. That's about insulating the pots. Correct? On Erev Shabbat. Then what does it say? Entomnin. So it's 1, 2, and then you go 2, 2. Also Masechet Shabbat. Bame Isha Yotza, Ubama Ina Yotza. What is a lady allowed to go out on Shabbat with, carrying, and what is she not allowed? Lo Tetze Isha. Okay, so we have three examples where the Mishnah uses that star, where it discusses two cases, and elaborates on the second case first. So the Gemara asks, "V'kol hecha tepatach lo mifaresh beresha." Oh, you're making a rule now. Now you're telling me that whenever the Mishnah gives two cases, it's always going to explain the second case. V'atanana, we show examples the other way. Right, 1, 2, going back to 1. What's the cases? We start. Yesh nohalin umanhilin. Nohalin velo manhilin. There are some cases, this is to my Yerusha inheritance. Yesh nohalin, certain people inherit, nohalin, manhilin, and they are able to bequeath to others. Nohalin, but there's others that are nohalin that they inherit, velo manhilin, but they cannot bequeath to others. And then what does the Mishnah say? Ve'elu nohalinu manhilin. It gives the case of the Resha. These are the ones that inherit and bequeath. Now what is this talking about? Just to know the examples. Not that we're learning Baba Batra, but just to know the examples. For example, a son to a father. So a son inherits the father, but the son can also bequeath to the father. If he dies, it goes back to the father. Mashe'enken, let's say a mother to a son. Which means, if the mother dies, the son inherits. But when the son dies, it doesn't go to the mother. It goes to the brothers. So that's an example of what they're talking about over there. Now, yesh mutarot leba'alehen, v'asurot liyib mehen, masichet yibamot. There are certain ladies that are permissible to the husband, but are forbidden to the yavam. Mutarot liyib mehen, in some cases permissible to the yavam, v'asurot leba'alehen. Then it goes back to the Resha. The following are the cases of Mutal, Baal, and Asur liyavam. Now, what are these cases over here? You could have a case where, let's say, the lady was forbidden
to the Yavam, sorry, forbidden to the husband, but permissible to the Yavam. What's the case? Let's say a lady married a Kohen Gadol. Now, let's say she was a Sutra Kohen Gadol. She was an Almana. So the Kohen Gadol cannot marry an Almana. So now, what happened? The Kohen Gadol died. She will fall to Yibum to the brother that's a Kohen Ediot. Because a Kohen Ediot is permissible to a Almana. Now, it must be pointed out that we must say that the original marriage of the Kohen Gadol to the Almana was done either with Kesef or Shtar. Because if he had Bi'ah with her, she becomes a Halala. And then she would be forbidden as well to the Yavam. Because she's a Halala. She was tainted. So therefore, that's a case what? Where she's forbidden to the Baal, but permissible to the Yavam. Now go the other way. You have a case where she can be permissible to the Baal, where the Baal is a Kohen Hidyot, and the brother is a Kohen Gadol. It's the exact opposite case. So you see what? The Mishnah gives you a case 1 and 2, and then gives me examples of case 1. Another example. Yesh te'unot shemen ulbona, shemen velo lebona. There's different types of menachot. Menachot is a meal offering. The major ingredients of a mincha is obviously flour, solet, and oil. Some menachot also have a third ingredient called lebona. Lebona is the frankincense. It's a certain spice. So the Mishnah says, there are certain menachot that have shemen with lebona as well, and some don't. So Mishnah gives us a case of 1 and 2, and then it goes back to give us the cases that it has shemen and levona. The Ran, just for informative purposes, four lines from the bottom, gives us the cases. Te'onot shemen ulbona, mefaresh beperek kula menachot, minchat ha-solet, that's a minchat that has solet, v'amachabat, that's a minchat that's in a frying pan, v'amarchesh, that's a deep-fried mincha, shemen velo lebona. I'm sorry, that's the case of shemen ulbona. Those cases, the frying pan menachot, shemen velo lebona, menachat nesachim. That's the menachat that you bring when there is nesachim, when there's wine, libels as well, as part of the korban. Next case. Yesh te'unot hagasha, ve'en te'unot tenufa, tenufa velo hagasha, ve'elu te'unot hagasha. Okay, there's certain items that need what's called hagasha. What is hagasha? You bring the mincha, let's say, to the mizbeah, and you have to actually place it on the corner of the mizbeah. Magish et zeh. And also it needs tenufa. What does tenufa mean? Tenufa means that the owners put their hands under the kohen's hands, and the kohen has to wave it. But there's certain items that the Mishnah says that you have tenufa, but without hagasha. And then the Mishnah lists the first case. These are the items that need hagasha and tenufa. Look at the Iran. Te'onot hagasha. Shiyagish ha-kohen et ha-mincha bekeret deromit ma'arabit. Right? They touch the mincha on the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Dichtiv. Zo torat ha-mincha ha-krem ota ben Aaron lefnei Hashem u'mefarshina beperek hayam bevi danu keret deromit ma'arabit. Tenufa. Kohen maniach yado tachat yad ha-ba'alim. Actually, it's the opposite. The Kohen puts his hands under the owner's hands. And what? Omenif. And then he gives you the examples. Which one needs what? Te'una gasha v'ena te'una tenufa. Hainu menchat chote. Te'una tenufa v'ena te'una gasha. Hainu log shemit shal mesorah v'ashamo v'abikurim. He gives you the different examples of what needs what. But bottom line, you see another example where it went 1, 2, and went back to 1. Next case. Yesh bechor le'nachala ve'en bechor le'kohen. Bechor le'kohen ve'en bechor le'nachala. The Mishnah over there discusses the law of a Bechor. Now we know a Bechor has two laws basically that can happen to a Bechor, a human being. Number one, Yerusha, he gets double inheritance. And there's another type of Bechor also that gets Pinyon, you have to redeem it. So to the Kohen. So the Mishnah over there says, Yesh Bechor Nahalah, this is Bechor, that's a Bechor Gabe inheritance, but not a Bechor that needs a Pinyon. And there's another type of bechor that what? That's a bechor for nahala. For a kohen, and he's not a bechor for nahala. And then the Mishnah gives me the first case.
So bottom of that is all the questions the Gemara is asking. Let's review the questions now. Now that we got all the examples, you just told me what that our Mishnah starts off with Kenuyim. And then it goes to Yadot. And once you're holding by Yadot already, it goes to discuss Yadot. Right? One, two, two. And the Gemara brought examples from Masechet Shabbat, Bem Madikin, Bem Isha Yotza, Bem Behema Yotza. You start one, two, and go to two. So it goes, oh, is that always true? I'll give you examples, what? That you gave cases one, two, and you went back to one? So the Gemara answers, there's an inherent difference between the cases. Why? Halen mishum de avshule mifaresh hahu de patach beresha. Those cases that we just brought, there's a lot of examples in the Mishnah. It's not only two scenarios. The Mishnah actually brings four scenarios in these cases that we just brought. For example, the case of Behema, or the case of the Bechor. We give four different examples. He's a Bechor for the Kohen, but not for Nahala. He's a Nahala, but not for a Kohen. He's a Nahala and Kohen, and he's nothing. Not the Kohen and not Nahala. So whenever you're going to bring me the four examples, then already we're always going to go back to number one to go in order so we don't forget the cases. Because Avshalom, there's a lot of scenarios we don't want to get mixed up and skip a case. Yeah. When there's only two examples, we have no problem to start from two and go back to one. But when there's four scenarios, so then already not to be confused, we're going to go back and go down the line one, two, three, four. That's what the Gemara's answer is. So the Gemara says, Veha bama behema yotza bama ena yotza. De lo avsha, in those cases over there in Masechet Shabbat, bame bema yotza, ubama ena yotza, an animal on Shabbat, how can it go out? Let's not consider carrying, and how can it not go? The Mishnah over there, de lo avsha. There's only two cases. Veketani yotze gamal, and what it went back to the resha, it went back to the first case. Why? If there's only two cases. The rule is what? Two cases you can go to. Case two. You only told me you went back to case one because it was four scenarios. So I'll give you a case where it was two scenarios and still you went back to one. So the Gemara says, you're right, reject that last answer. Ela, lav davka. You can't make a rule out of it. It's lav davka. Zimnin mefaresh ahu de patach beresha. Zimnin ahu de sadik mefaresh beresha. Which means, you really can't make a rule out of it. It's whatever the Tana wanted to do in that case. Sometimes he's going to do the second case and explain it first. And sometimes he's going to explain the first case first. Nothing to do with Avsha or things like that. Because you have cases that there were four cases and he went back to case number one. You have cases where there were only two cases and he went back to case number one. So therefore, there is no basic rule. And therefore, back to our Mishnah. When our Mishnah said Kinui, Yadot, he went to Yadot. Okay, it's following that style as we see in other cases. Amen, amen.